had a kind of a free reign here because the walls have been crumbling. Ron had a word about rebuilding the walls last week, and it was, I think it was spot on. It's a time to rebuild the walls. It's a time to take the territory back that we're responsible for. And I think that we can have an effect on this area. Jesus, with 12 guys, changed the world, put it right side up when it was upside down. And it still works today. And we have more than 12 here. That's all he needed. And he's in each of us here. And so what is it that we're going to do? What is it that we can do? Well, we can pray with expectation. Shelley had a word this morning that sometimes the problem in worship, getting through the worship stuff, is in our heads. Our heads get in the way. Is that fair to say? Is that what you were sort of? You want to give it instead? Yeah.
Actually, I was looking at your grandson, and it's just I don't even know if it was him, it was a picture of all of us, but it's the enemy just has reign in our head, and we need to take territory outside of it, but we also need to take territory here. And I have a dog, Lucy, and if I see her doing something that she's not supposed to do, I'll go, mm-mm. That's all I have to do. It's training. Or if she's eating something, drop it. That she's not supposed to eat. And so we need to do the same thing with our thoughts. And the enemy comes against us in the area of, did God really say? He comes for the word that's within us already. And if it's not rooted, he will try and uproot what we already know is true.
Yeah.
And so I just recognize, did God really say? Or is God really working? It's like these kind of questions. You say, mm-mm, he is. Very
good. Yeah. That's a good word. God, yes. That's a good word. Being at their house, I know Steve drops what he's doing when she says that too. That's what authority does. So it's time for us to say, uh-uh. I think it's time for us to say that. But how do we do that? How do we get out our swords? Do we get out our anti-aircraft guns? Do we get out our tanks? Well, I think God has a word for us this year. Don't rain on my parade here. It is a word for us that may not be what we would expect, but I think its timing is perfect. If we can look past what our preconceived ideas of the word might be. I'm not going to tell you just yet what it is. The word has been important to us over the years. I think 12 or 13 years ago, God gave me the word, and he gave it to me. Like, I sit with him quietly, I prepare my heart, you know, and I often for a couple of weeks in advance I'm preparing just to hear that word. And and so I sit with him to hear the word, and I actually hear from him. It's not like, I think this word should be it, and I'm going to blame God for it. To the best of my ability, with everything I am, I believe that this is what God gives us every year. And it's turned out wonderfully. 12 or 13 years ago, I forget what it was, but God gave the, and it's always one word, but this year it was hear and obey. And the way he made that one word, some of you have heard this already, was he put it into a web address. So www.hearandobey, which is one word, .com. Jehovah sneaky, he gets in there somehow, you know. Anyway, he gave us that word, and so we were working hard during that year on hearing the voice of God and obeying it as soon as you heard it, so that it wasn't delayed obedience is disobedience. We didn't want to get into that. We wanted to, if we hear the word, to the best of our ability, we wanted to move on that word right away. And in the fall of that year, Christine and I were given a little bit of a vacation down in Mexico. Christine, being the prophet, said she didn't ever want to go to Mexico. Something about Mexico. Well, while we're there, she died. It turns out okay. She's right here. she really died, and it was middle of the night. She was sick before. She went to the washroom, and I don't wake up real well, so it took me a while when she called me on her way to the washroom to get in there. And when I got in there, she was slumped against the wall and gone. So I was as calmly as I could, and I've been trained most of my life to be calm in crisis. You know, I can do that stuff. And so, okay, I checked for pulse in all of the areas that I knew you should check, and then I put my cheek down to her nose and mouth, and nothing, no signs, no nothing. And so I stepped back, and I looked at her, and I want to be the hero of this, but Jesus is the hero. I was thinking, how am I going to get her home? Do I have to pay for a seat for her, or does she go in cargo, or, you know, like, those are my thoughts, and she's forgiven me for that. You've been listening. As I was thinking that, I heard, speak life. And I heard the voice that I'd been hearing all year, that voice that I so loved and had been working on it in such a way that I didn't question. I didn't think. I speak life in Jesus' name. I speak life in Jesus' name. I speak life in Jesus' name. And as I said it the third time, her eyes popped open. Saved me an airline ticket. That was great. But anyway, story's bigger than that, but she's here. And I think it was because God works through those things. You never know how he's going to work through them if you embrace them. Because he will sift deep into who we are and make it a part of our lives. Last year, you know, we've worked on words like peace and hope and stuff like that. Last year, our word was joy. And I stood up here a year ago, and I said, joy is our word. And I defined joy, and, you know, we look forward to exploring joy. I had no idea what it was going to be like. Looking for joy in the midst of great sorrow. Looking for joy in the midst of tribulation, of territory being ripped out of your hands. Where do I find the joy? And we found it in Jesus. It drew us closer to Jesus as we were looking for joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And we were able to explore that in a way that I really could not anticipate. Would not have anticipated, would not have looked forward to, but we did, and I feel that we are richer because of it, because God let us explore that very thing. And so the word of the year is not a, you know, a profound, like Bob Jones, you know, he gives a kind of, when he was here on earth, he's with the Lord now, but he'd give a book, you know, his prophetic word for the year. I don't do that. But I do have confidence in one word. And so I want to take us to the word and put us in Isaiah. And our scripture that goes with this word is Isaiah 42.
Praise the Lord.
And Isaiah 42 is in the midst of some of the most powerful things, some of my most beloved scriptures. You know, Isaiah 40 they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How many times have you heard that quoted? It's just wonderful stuff. And then in Isaiah 41, it talks about, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. His promises to us. And the scriptures in Isaiah 40, 41, 42 just get me going. But 42 is what we want to focus on, what I felt like God wanted us to focus on this year. And it's primarily in this area. And verse 10. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants, let the desert and its cities lift up their voice, and the village that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands.
Huh. Wow.
Now, there's the direction. Sing. Right? That's not the word, so pay attention. When you sing, what does that do? It rouses the Lord. So he says, the Lord goes out like a mighty man, like a man of war. He stirs up his zeal. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows himself mighty against his foes. And he says, for a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant, and I will lay waste the mountains and the hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind. Did you hear us singing about the blind today? In a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things that I will do, and I will not forsake them. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. His promises to us is, you sing, and I haven't been busy for a while, but if you sing, I will rouse myself. And I will fight for you. Patty, did you have that song this morning?
Jesus.
You were supposed to be here. He's fighting for us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you know what the neatest part is? He fights and he vanquishes his foes. And then it says in 43:4, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. That honored there is you are a mighty warrior.
Wow.
So you sang, he beat up everybody in sight that was against you, and he says, way to go. You did good. You're a warrior.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Jesus.
The amazing God we serve.
Thank you.
He will fight for us.
Yeah.
He is fighting for us.
Yeah.
If we can see what he's doing. Matthew 11. Put your finger back in Isaiah 42, and we'll come back to that. Matthew 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you. Oh, just a minute. That's not what I wanted. Is that the right one? I'll tell you what it says. Come to me, ye who are weak and heavy laden. Eh? 28. Can't read my 11:28. Thank you, Steve. That's why you invite the bishop every now and then. Come to me, ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you your word for the year. Stan, can you put our word up? Did she prepare a thing for me? No. It's up there anyway. I will give you rest. Rest. What does rest mean to you? There it is. Rest. I will give you rest. Rest is not lying down. Rest is not paying attention. Rest is taking care of the things that need to be taken care of. Rest is doing the things that you need to do. When he says, I will give you rest to the people of Israel, he just didn't allow anyone to attack their borders for 40 years or whatever it was. But in the meantime, they still had to mow their grass.
Yes.
They still had to wash their dishes.
Yeah.
They still had to maintain their fences. And when they didn't, maintain their walls, they were set up for something. Rest includes all of the stuff that we normally do, but rest is a place in the heart, right? It's a place in the mind. It's a place where we must have it filled with hope and not fear, right? So if you see what is happening in the world, just step back and look at the big picture for a bit. The thing that runs rampant and the thing that is driving us is fear. They want us to be a fearful people. They want us to be so afraid that we're going to die of some weird disease, or we can't touch each other, we can't be around each other, we can't go out of our homes, we can't walk at night, we can't do anything because we're fearful. We won't engage in transactions because they might rip us off, and it's fear related. We can't see ourselves taking territory because we are fearful. And that being the wave that's pushing over the earth, what do? Well, I love the picture that I've given him credit for it before. Graham Cook, I first heard it from him. You're facing an enemy. An old battle line, and in just a picture of the Valley of Megiddo, you know, where it's the perfect, Napoleon said that valley is the perfect battlefield. There's hill on either side and a long flat valley in the middle. And armies will line up on the hills so that you can see their strength, so that you'll be intimidated in the battle that's going to take place in the valley. And so you stand on one hill and you look across the valley and you see mature, fierce warriors, some giants. Some look as though they've had 100 battles and won every one easily. These are warriors that you're facing. And you know the fear and the dread that would come into your heart. I have to face that. I have no chance. I might take out one or two, but this is the day of my defeat. And as you're feeling that, you see walking behind them a figure catches your eye. The figure turns toward you, and there's a grin on his face. And he winks at you, and you recognize Jesus. Jesus is here. Your fear and dread turn to hope and joy, because you know today is going to be a good fight. And a good fight is when you win. Right? I've been in bad fights. A good fight is when you win, and today is going to be a good fight, because Jesus is smiling at me, and he's winking. He's got something there, and we're going to take the day. And so everything that you felt a moment ago is gone, and you can rest knowing that the day is at hand and that you are going to come through this day victorious. Because the mighty warrior is fighting for you. You'll be expected to do something, but you do not have to fear. You do not have to be in trepidation. You do not have to be without hope. Because the very nature of hope is on your side. And so it's simply doing what he instructs us to do. That's our rest. That's our rest. When he instructs Israel to take a day of rest, 1 in 7, you're supposed to have this day of rest. The idea is spend some time with me. It's not about kick back and watch the football game, right? That's what we've made it. And it's not a day, like when we were in Israel, we found out that you can't do certain things on the Shabbat. You can't heat your home on Shabbat. You know, so you can't set the heat. And so you talk to your neighbors and they come in and set it for you. Like, that's the way around it. There's always ways around all the laws, right? And if you're in the law, you find those ways. Well, I didn't do anything about it. My neighbor did. No. It's not about that. The rest is about Jesus. The rest is not for us to be selfish. Does that make any sense to us at all? We are in such a selfish time. The most prevalent form of photos is selfies now. What does that say about us? Where everything is about me. And that's not the way Jesus asked us to live. Right. We're to love ourselves, absolutely. But we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And there's something different about that. And something absolutely wonderful. You hear it said, well, there's time to rest when I die. I've got to go, and I've got to go hard. I've got to work while it's daylight. Do you know what drives that? It is fear. It's fear of not being accepted. It's if I work hard enough, my God will accept me, and he will love me. And if I do all that I can for him, he's got to do what I want. A son, like Stefan, if he asked me to do something, and I said, yep, then he could put his feet up for a bit and know and trust that I would take care of it, because we have a relationship. I would do anything I could for him. He doesn't have to strive for me. We have relationship. He says, go. But you got to be careful with that, you know, like assuming that if I go, then he's going to do whatever I want. He's going to bless whatever I... He will bless, but it could take a long time, and you could learn a lot of lessons while you're going. You want to be like the people of Israel that said, I'm not going unless you're going with me. I don't want the blessing of an angel. I don't want blessing that I've earned. I want you and your presence everywhere I go. It's about Jesus and him being a part of everything we're doing. So what we're gonna do this year is explore praise and worship in new ways. We're gonna dance and reclaim that territory. Wave flags. Have some fun in the presence of the Lord again. We've got to explore that. Take that territory back. Because the first thing he says in this passage is sing to the Lord a new song. We're going to look at that. And that becomes a part of our rest. Singing to the Lord. Blessing his name. Remove fear from our midst. And we're gonna see what God does here. Because I think that this year we're gonna see God move in a way that removes if. If God shows up, if God is pleased, if we do it right, he's going to move that to when God shows up. Move it from if to when he is pleased. And we'll know that when we get together, he is going to be in our midst. And we'll have a confidence in that. You could feel it building the last couple of months. And last Sunday we had Shelley had a word and everybody prayed for us. It was a time to put away the grave cloths. You know, she made a point about Lazarus. Put away the grave cloths because a new day is here. Jesus is on the move, right? That great line out of Narnia, Tales of Narnia, Aslan is on the move. Aslan, if you don't know, is a picture of Jesus. A metaphor. Jesus is on the move. And I if what I'm getting is right, we're going to see him move this year in ways that we have wanted him to move for years. Prophetic words that have gone forth that have seemed unanswered and put away on a shelf are going to be answered this year because we are no longer striving for it. We're learning how to rest, believing that if he said it, it will happen.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is as good as his word. Jesus is the word, right? He is good for his word, and he will see it take place. So the if will become when as we move through the year. And we will begin to see rest in an entirely different fashion, filling our time of rest with Jesus, filling it with our hopes and wonder, and putting away the fears. If you really believe Jesus was with you in everything you did, would you be fearful? You have him with you, protecting you. Put away the, well, he didn't show up then, and he didn't heal me that, and he didn't. Put away that stuff. If the most mighty warrior of all time, the one who has never, ever not fulfilled a promise,
right,
the one who has defeated every foe, is with you all the time. Is there a place for fear? The word says not, because it says perfect love drives out fear. There is no place for fear where perfect love or Jesus resides. This year we're going to see rest differently. Rest is going to become one of our favorite words. But rest is not inactivity that way. Rest is not forgetting to do the things that you have to do. We have to keep up the things that we're supposed to do. And we need to rest in the fact that Jesus gave us this territory. The enemy is the interloper right now. The enemy went one bridge too far by taking somebody out a couple of blocks from us last night. That stops, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm going to take it seriously again. I have prayed weak prayers, honestly unbelieving prayers for a while, but I am filled with hope now. I am filled with the wonder of who God is and what He's about to do. And having someone killed so close to us on the night before we get our word of rest is just a sign of a desperate enemy knowing that his time is up. So mark it. See what happens by this time next year. See what God is going to do and how you look at things differently. I think that God is on the move to do good things, to do wonderful things, to give us rest and to fight on our behalf and then call us great warriors. I love that. Hallelujah. He's going to do it. Reese, could you come up and start playing? We're going to have communion. I just want some music to go with the communion. So what we'll do this morning is we'll have two lines. Come and get your emblems, but go back to your seats, and we'll take it all together, okay? You carry it back. You think you can not spill it on between here and there? I'll trust you. You're all adults. Well, we'll have communion in unity this morning, and I think it'll be delightful. Terry and Alan, come on up here. They're gonna serve over here, and Christine and I will serve there. Two lines. And, oops. A little bit of that. Oops. Share that with him. Thank you, Lord. Get the emblems and go return to your seats, and we'll. Thank you. stand together. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in memory of me." So thank you, Lord, for your body broken for us. Through it, we receive healing and fullness and a part of one loaf together. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take it together. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the new arrangement in my blood. Do this whenever you meet together in memory of me," right? In memory of Jesus, who is going to show us what rest is all about. Together. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just stay standing, and Reese, you got a song we can do together? Too much authority has been given to the world from the church. The church should be the authority, and we should administer that authority as Christ would, as Christ's representatives. And so this year, we take our authority back in our homes as we rebuild the walls. We take our authority back in our church, and we take it back in our cities. It's time. Jesus is on the move. So pray with me if you would. Jesus, I pray that our hearts will be flooded with light so that we can understand the confident hope that you have given to those that you have called. Your holy people who are rich and have generous inheritance. It is us who need to be the mature sons of God whom the world is waiting, anticipating the revelation of. Jesus, help us to do that. Help us to rest in the fact that you have won the victory. Help us to rest as more than conquerors, Lord. And to know that you are fighting the battle and it's up to us to mop it up. We will trust you with it and love you in it. I pray for each of us, Lord, that we would get it, and that it would become an important part of our year.
Thank you.
to rest in you. Lord, I'm thinking of a wonderful piece of meat as it's barbecued. You gotta let it rest for the flavor to be full. And so, Lord, we're gonna rest this year, trusting that you are doing the work. Let us do the things that you want us to do and be about your business as we maintain and prepare as you are on the move. Thank you, Jesus, for this, your people. Bless them now as we go into this year, 2018. This is our first Sunday, and it's all in your lovely name, Jesus.